the calling of the mystic awakening in the flowering of the heart, everybody.
We live in extraordinary times. Of this there is no doubt. The word awakening is used over and over to describe this epic pace of advancing insights and understandings into how the universe works. It's led us into innovation and invention unlike anything mankind has ever known. Hi, I'm Adam T. Gardner. Over time, I've become a whole food, whole herb medicine man. I'm the visionary for America's Medicine Wheels and creator of the Human Accelerator website. And I see myself as being just like you, filled with wonders about this amazing age we're all in. The Second Genesis Awakening one-hour radio show is going to bring it all home. Expose how evolutionary our lives can become every day. Your host, Deborah Bruintout, singer, songwriter, mother, and intuitive facilitator, is going to take you on a journey into the lives of folks just like you and me, who saw what was possible and took actions that have accelerated our lives into a whole and new reality. It's a level that, well, even our most advanced scientific insights don't realize yet how our daily lives can have this genetic activation of a second Genesis awakening and birth. It's written within the very fabric of our spirits, woven into every cell in our flesh. It's a truth we always knew was there, as its mysterious way transforms so many of our open hearts. Now, here's your host, Deborah.
And welcome. Love to welcome you to the Second Genesis Awakening Radio Hour, which is a part of the Sustainability, Regeneration, and Green Platform shows here on Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. It's international, and we are live on Boston and worldwide. If you have just tuned in for the first time, we are a syndicated Boston-based internet station, and you can listen to us just about anywhere, whether you are on your phone or on Alexa in the car with a Bluetooth. And I'm just delighted to have my friend, by popular demand, our friend, and our dear associate, Susan Whiting, to our show. And it is by popular demand, Susan. It's just, it's always such a pleasure to have you. And we were saying earlier that we could talk about anything, you and I, you know?
Thank you.
I wanted to give you a little intro. You've been on the show. This is an encore because, you know, people have been asking for you. But after 25 years in higher education, as well as director and a therapist, Susan, you retired to working in your own land and an organic and humanitarian garden to give fresh fruits. Yes, truth. Truth is fruth. I love that I said
that. Truths are truth. Yes, you were right on both counts.
Yes, that's right on. And vegetables to others, and teach them how to grow their food, to restore their lives and their own health, while reducing pollution on the planet. I do remember when we first met that was really something we talked about a lot, and just to watch you blossom and grow and growing, you know, and sharing all this wonderful produce and life. But yeah. I had a question, if you don't mind if I just start right with it. You were especially happy. Yeah, thank you. You were just, when I asked you to be on the show, I noticed you were just really happy this time of year. And we were both like delighted, and there was a lot of joy. And so tell us more about that joy that you have this time of year, if you will.
I would love to. This is the time of year when there is a resurrection of all life, and societies throughout time have celebrated it this time as the plants come back to their full rejuvenation. As we both know, everything really is about vibration, and vibration is light and life and love. And this is the time of year when the vibration of the plant world becomes more vibrant and alive and more of its full self. And so it is also a time when we are invited by all the planet and all of nature to bring our vibration to a higher level and to live a higher life and to partake of that plant-based diet that Adam T. Gardner speaks of that really brings renewed life to all of us. And I had an interesting experience where a friend who knew that I was very interested in many spiritual practices and from many parts of the world and participated in a lot of them said, well, you're really a member of the Church of the Garden. And I had time to contemplate, what does she mean by that? And I realized that as a young child, my father taught me to be worshipful about nature, as he would point out a sweet little bird and its song and say, God loves that bird, Susan, and we need to be respectful and courteous to that, and or God loves this plant, and this life is in there. And other people didn't talk to me like that, but when I walked around our property with my father, I learned of the sacredness of all that is living, not just for me to take advantage of and use everything that has been created, but to live conventionally with it in such a way that I bring more life or vibration to all that is around me, and it in return brings more to me. So I realized that all the time while I'm out working in the garden, because I was doing it to myself this morning, I'm giving sermons. So I'm the preacher of the Church of the Garden, and I'm usually the congregation as well.
You have shared that and have shared that with me. This is, we've even come, Adam T., and you had chairs out in the back, and you were working, and you said that to us, and we just sat down, and there's your garden. There is such a reverence. There really is, and when you said that you're giving, you're preaching. It wasn't sermon. Really preaching, but you're giving a sermon to the garden, and
anybody that shows up and wants to learn about it,
did. We had we have a lot of wonderful experiences with you. I noticed that you're out. You love to be in the garden, and whenever I come over, there's the bees, and you just say see the bees, and there's butterflies,
the birds. They love to be there. They bring their life.
There's a lot of doves. You know, you have doves everywhere.
Yes, we do. They like to land in our yard and on our house. There are many lessons in nature. In fact, I was listening to a podcast about food revolution last week, and they talked about that if we went outside early in the morning into the sunlight, that we had increased serotonin all day long. So happy drugs that the body produces are produced by going out in our garden in the morning, which is a natural time for us to do that anyway. So just one of the many perks that we get to have. So I wanted to talk a little bit about some of these lessons in nature that we are privileged to notice by being out there. May I talk about a few plants?
Yes, because we're part of your garden, all of the listeners today. And we would love to be...
Oh, they make it a garden sermon.
Yes, I like it.
Peas early because they can withstand a little bit of frost, and they're beautiful and green. But peas are very interesting. If you don't plant them near a cage or a fence of some sort, they fall down, they're floppy, and they don't produce. And so I noticed the peas moving towards these standards, these strong places that will help support them. And I actually had watched another plant information piece where they showed plants that like to climb fences, and it showed that the plant by nature has intelligence to know where a fence will be near it grow towards it and grow up that fence. And I notice the peas do that, and they're so beautiful. And the lesson for us from peas is that we need strong structures around us to stand by and to stand in, structures that bring peace and joy and harmony. So we have fences as well that we can lean towards and wrap our little sweet tendrils around. And that may be family, it may be religious study, it may be food, it may be so many things. But I'd like to talk to everyone about getting a pencil and paper out, because if they're taking time to listen to us, they might as well really maximize that time by writing down something that Benjamin
Franklin
did.
All of our listeners, get your pencils ready and take a moment to take some things down. Because, you know, Susan, I was just thinking myself, that is of what you, all that you said is just so truth. Like, it's,
thank you, Liz.
We all need that support. And I was seeing myself as a pea pod, you know.
That's what I do in my sermons in the garden.
And that we, how it is to be able to be supported. And the community, you know, there is that community that you're sharing. So tell us more about what you were, I just love it. And if everybody's had time to get their pencil and paper.
Okay. So Benjamin Franklin did something, and he was asked later in his life if he could pass one thing on to his children and grandchildren of all the many wonderful things he learned and did for this country and for inventions. He said, the one thing I would like them to do is each week to write down a word or a process that they are going to add to their life to make their life richer. And I think that is so the key to everything that is wonderful in life. Compound interest on money is something most people understand. And that is, if you continue to add a little bit and get compound interest, that is what good behaviors do. If we choose to do something that brings light and life and love and strength, then the next one's easier and the next one's easier and the next one's easier. And conversely, because I've worked with drug and alcohol addictions and other kinds of addictions in my past with people because of my profession, the other side of that works too. When we do one thing that is unkind or unloving or unsupportive, then it is easier to do the next thing that tears us down. So I want us to have something strong that we climb that has a weekly or a daily improvement list, so that we can be gaining compound interest all of our life. It works for money. It works for health. It works for happiness. It works for relationships. And when we do one more good thing, one more good thing, one more good thing, consciously and aware, we will be better and gain interest on that. So I want all of our listeners to really take that to heart. If they don't hear anything else we say, to write down one thing they commit to themselves to do this week or this day, and continue to add to that to increase their vibration and be a strong fence and climb a strong fence in life.
That is so, that's so the right piece. On. It is. It's to make that commitment now with what you're sharing, especially with
what's going on
in the world and in your lives, wherever you're at. Yeah, take it.
It's just one thing, like I'm going to give up soda this week, or I'm going to say something nice to every person I see this week. The list is endless, but the beautiful thing is this is a personally driven life. You have your own roadmap written in you, and I want to say that about plants too. I can't pick up a spinach seed, which is very tiny, by the way, and say, now I want you to grow into a corn stalk, so I'm going to put you here where the corn's supposed to grow, and you be a corn plant. Because
that is so good.
I don't know its creation.
Spinach seed. Oh, I love that.
Each of us has our own creation, and therefore we are accountable, and we know our own roadmap, and we will know the next thing we need to pick. So I don't intend to say, your next thing has to be this. Inside of you, that roadmap will say, your next most important thing you can do to live a fulfilling life is get a strong structure. Whatever it is, you'll know. So that's peas. Anyway, I want to talk about carrots next. Carrots start very tiny.
I love the carrots. I was enjoying those peas in this time of year. Not watering.
These are just things that I'm working in the garden with right now. That's why they're the ones that
came up. Excuse me. Go ahead, say that again. Excuse me.
Now you know why I'm happy to talk this time of year, because these are the things I worked with today that gave me sermons this morning.
They
are. So the carrots come up really tiny, and they're tiny plants, and I am now growing my own seeds, which I would be happy to talk to people about how to do sometime later, just not today. But I have lots of carrot seeds because they make a beautiful flower on their second year, which makes their seeds. But when you plant them, they're so tiny, they come up too close together, too many of them. And so we have to, they have to thin out, be thinned out, or else they can't grow. They won't have enough room, and they'll just choke each other out, and none of them will be big or delicious. And so we're getting to thin out of our lives those things that no longer serve us. And so maybe that's the thing someone's going to pick to write down, is thinning out of my life the behaviors, the people, the media that does not serve me or others, and replace it with something that does, or leave the fertile ground so that it can, what I do want will grow larger and more magnificent. So
that's
carrots
really
taught
great.
Me that today.
Mm-hmm. The carrots, because you were visiting with them and you're thinning them out.
Thinning carrots.
And, and as you're thinning them, you're thinking belief systems or behaviors even, however
absolutely.
That is. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. It's time to let go of certain things so that you know, this can come forward and look, the carrot, like you said, it has its own creation. It's a carrot.
And it needs a certain amount of room to grow to be its magnificence, and filling the space with too much junk or other plants or whatever does not allow it to become the full measure of its creation, which is what we all know makes our hearts throb. So I want to talk about weeding. I have to weed at least twice a week. And the clue for weeding, which is the same as thinning in some ways, is weed early, weed often.
Yes.
So the sooner you take the weeds out of your life, the easier they are to get out, because they don't have a deep root system. I can go along with a hoe and take out everything when it's little, but if I let it get a large 1 foot deep root, I have to dig it out with a shovel, and each weed then becomes huge and cumbersome. That's like our life. Weed early, weed often. Pick one today, write it down. What are you going to weed out, and what are you going to add in to the two most salient issues for the garden, even though all of it's wonderful. I can't recommend strongly enough the power of growing your own garden. A vegan, they say, uses one-third to one-sixth of the, makes one-third to one-sixth of the amount of pollution on this planet, as does a person who eats the standard American diet. Now, who doesn't feel like we need to clean up the planet? And growing your own then adds another additional level, where you don't spend gasoline running around to get more things, because it's right there. You walk out, as Adam T. says, he sees me out in the garden just pick an ear of corn off and eat it raw, or a pea off the pea plant, or a carrot, wash it off and eat it. When we have our own food, we are aiding the planetary safety and well-being of the future. So grow a garden if you can in your own yard. You have a little tiny piece of plant and land, and if you don't, grow some things in pots. Grow one tomato plant, one cucumber plant. Those plants will know you and love you and serve you. In fact, I was even taught that if you spit on your seeds before you plant them, or spit in your soil, your seeds and plants learn to know you and what elements your body needs more, and they will actually...
Really? I had never heard that one.
I just learned that this year.
Spit in your garden.
They will actually grow, give you more of the nutrients that you specifically need for your specific DNA and your genetics. Is that
That's
beautiful?
That's amazing, because it does have a DNA, and when you think about that, and their knowingness to you, that's really awesome. I really like that.
I do, and I've done it. I did it with those peas I was telling you about.
You
I
do?
Spit on them.
You spit on your peas? Well, no, the ground.
Well, on the seeds, not seeds before
I
planted
seeds,
the seeds.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, so
well, I think we're all learning a lot about that. I don't know how many of us have heard that secret, but it is in the DNA. There is a memory. So, boy, that's a lot to think about. We're going to be going out in just a few moments and, and coming back with more of the secrets of what you're sharing, you know, how we can weed things out. And the sermon, I like to say that we get to be part of the plants in your garden today.
Mm-hmm.
And we're here with Susan Whiting and by popular demand, and we're so glad that you have joined us today the Second Genesis Awakening. Oh, thank you so much, Susan. And it's a pleasure to have you. And so we're going to go out right now, and we'll be right back. And this is the Second Genesis Awakening Radio. I'm your host, Deborah Bruintout, and we're on Dream Vision 7 Radio.
Adam T. Gardner here with thehumanaccelerator.org. Just wanted to let you know we've got a wonder-filled curriculum put together. The website's a gathering place for what's called our We Community. We're working to build America's medicine wheels, where you'll be able to sample the most advanced regenerative medicine and lifestyles ever known. But you don't have to wait for us to finish the building in order to begin your adventure into insights and understandings that'll be at our completed cultural center near Zion National Park. You can join the We Community for free. We've got over a dozen videos to share about us, about life, about the possibility that mankind now has to live free of all sickness and disease. That's thehumanaccelerator.org. See you there. Adam T. Gardner here with thehumanaccelerator.org, just letting you know we've created what I like to call the B-movie. It'll make you laugh, I promise. It'll make you sigh with relief. It's finally here, this truth whose time has come. We've divided it into segments for easier viewing, which lets you zero in on thoughts you're attracted to, so it can be played over and over during those periods. It's an evolutionary sharing that'll leave you transformed in ways you never could have imagined. Becoming a whole food holder medicine man over a 3-decade period, I share cutting-edge ways of living that'll seem new because of the modern insights we have, yet it's an ancient lifestyle, genetically and epigenetically wired into every cell of the human body. Go to thehumanaccelerator.org and take the ride of your life.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
And welcome back to the Second Genesis Radio Show. I'm your host. Hey, Susan, before we went out, you were telling us, sharing with us about spitting on seeds. And
just one more gardening tip for those of you who want to save the planet and your body.
And talking about saving the planet, you know, that is one thing when I met you, that, you know, you wanted to be about our health and reducing the pollution mm-hmm. on the planet. And then there's just so much that has been happening. And so you're sharing with us what your day-to-day is with the lessons that you're learning from the plants. So do you have some more for us?
Well, you already know this, and some of your listeners do, but my first degree in university was in medical technology, and I noticed that as we spent all of our time trying to find pathogenic reasons why people were sick and treating them with more medications, that the more medications they got, the more they needed, and it just compounded on itself. And so I talked about compounding, and I changed professions. I went back and got a master's degree and began doing mental health counseling, and then I noticed that it alone was not sufficient. So I looked at whole body, all healing, which really brought me back to the garden, as you know, And I believe that as we look at all these factors together and compound that interest of doing one more good thing, eliminating one more weed, that we begin to grow exponentially, and it is so beautiful. And so I want people to understand that we are a whole being, mind, body, spirit, emotion, mental, and we need to feed all of those systems the way we need to feed our plants. If I don't have any iron in my soil or any nitrogen, it doesn't matter what thing I pick, the plants look poor and they won't produce. And our lives are the same. If we neglect an important period of life or an important part of life, then we will not thrive. And so I would like to have us talk for just a second about the four elements that we need to respect.
Thank you.
Those elements, and then they will respect us and feed us. What we feed feeds us. What we focus on will become greater in our life. And so the earth that you grow your plants in must be fertile. The land where I purchased property did not have any fertility, so we had to bring a lot of things. In fact, one of the best things you can do is take your wet garbage, your banana peels, and all of those things that you don't eat, and bury them in your soil and enrich it instead of filling up the landfills. Mm-hmm. Fill up the garden with more nutrition. And so I have a lot of volunteer plants that come up all over the place in the garden because I'm burying that. So, like, I might have
tomatoes. I love to see what your new volunteers are. Yeah.
Well, they're more resilient. This is what's really funny. The squash, for instance, that comes back from its own seed, which I have a whole bunch over there right now.
Uh-huh.
I had to thin some out, will be more resilient against the squash bugs, which is just really interesting.
Oh, tell me
and
more about
so
that. That's
use,
been happening. Wow.
You use less pesticides and herbicides and so forth because your plants do part of your work for you, and it's so wonderful.
Oh, I like that.
So have fertile soil.
So then the squash bugs, you don't have as many squash bugs because
they don't kill the plant as quickly.
You.
What happens is squash bugs will kill a plant very quickly if you don't if you're not right on top of it. But there seems to be a resilience with the, I call them freebies or volunteers, that come up from our own seed. And I also then know I'm not getting GMO or pesticide powdered seeds when I grow my own. So I'd love to teach people about that when they come over as well. Anyway,
there's a lot to that, Susan, and knowing that you really, the work you do in your in your gardens with for that humanitarian garden is for those that, I mean, you're literally always working to not have any pesticides and to keep very living. Yeah, natural. And I just wanted to kind of accentuate that when we're talking about the elements, because the elements don't have to even think about it. You know, they're just free.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like they're free.
Mm-hmm.
Pesticide
free.
So
we compost with leaves and compost from our kitchen and all the our own plants from the last year, except for the vine plants. And so making the earth more fertile and more alive, she gives back to you. And then, of course, we have the water, and it is, the world is almost in a crisis for clean water again. And by not taking medications, because we're eating the plant-based medicine, we are not filling the earth with medications either, which it's not meant to have. So it's really, it all feeds back together, and it's the circle of life is so beautiful. So we keep our water clean by eating a plant-based diet, which feeds and heals us and keeps us from having to take medication, which we really
love. I absolutely love that. It's it makes me happy when you said that you're not giving, we're not polluting anything on the earth with pills or with that pollution, or to the animals, to every living thing, you know, of the elements. And
that's
huge, because your food is your medicine, and it's life, and it's there to give everything it has to you with its intelligence and into from
beautifully
that plant kingdom that's from the sun. you know, mm-hmm. the solar that is people, I mean, the vibration. People ask yes. about, you know, certain vitamin C, and it's all vitamin C, really, when you take a moment to think that it's all from the solar.
Spinach I picked and put in my smoothie this morning had a lot of vitamin C in it.
Yes,
and it was natural,
it's full of it.
And it was healthy. And there we come to the next element, the air. When you grow your home garden, you are helping clean the air because you're not putting more pesticides and herbicides. You're using less gasoline. Your greenery is cleaning out all the carbon dioxide and the other things in the air that we don't want. And, again, feeding us back. We take care of the planet, the four elements, the plants, and they take care of us. So beautiful.
So true. Well, it is. So I'm talking about plant life. It does exactly that, and it's mm-hmm. the antithesis of, you know, a lot of people don't want to mention global warming and all of that, but it is mm-hmm. literally, for me, it's just a no-brainer. It's just good all the way around. It's the good news, no matter what you believe.
Gardens are the good news. I love that. Thank you. That's so cute. I want to teach something before we end our time that I taught my grandson this morning. He's on a baseball
team.
What
did you teach him? I love it.
This is Verdallin.
Thank you.
And he was having a little bit of a hard time because he didn't play as well as he wanted to. So I was talking to him about superheroes and superpowers. Plants are superheroes, but here's how we have what our three main powers are that I want to share with people today that they have as superheroes. And they're all about being positive, so that's what Dallin's got to get today. So I said, you need to see the positive. So if you look around a room, you don't look at the one little dirty spot where somebody got ketchup on the wall and it didn't get washed off yet, but you look at the whole, their house is beautiful, clean, as you know. You look at the rest of the room and say, this is a beautiful room. I'm so blessed to live here. The sayings on the walls are beautiful. The furniture is beautiful. The minky blankets are beautiful. And so you notice what's positive is the first superpower that human beings have to vitalize themselves. And plants do that. They move towards what is positive. They move to where there's enough water. They move to where the air is clean. They move to where the soil is good. So gravitate to that which is positive. See the positive. The second one is to affirm the positive. So you vision your future as all positive. In other words, so I don't go and say, well, I'm going to have a broken leg next week. I mean, that would be really stupid of me to say that. And I can say, I am living a beautiful life, and I see myself with magnificent gardens. So I vision the garden growing when I walk out the bare, even before I plant the seeds. But right now we still have a lot of dirt because it's just coming out of winter. But I see mm-hmm. the plants full grown and producing fabulous food that I'm enjoying. So see the future
you're
as
visualizing
you
mm-hmm. it as you want it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And the last one I told him is to requalify everything as positive. So if you don't catch the ball in the baseball game, then
right.
you look at that and go, like, I'm going to learn to correct that and start moving sooner when the batter hits the ball. If you do catch the ball, you're going to see that as positive as well, because you're going to say, this is what I did right. So the three powers that plants do, and I taught Dallin this morning to keep practicing with, see the positive. When you look around, notice what is beautiful, what is positive. Secondly, visualize or affirm that positive is coming. So see your beautiful plants growing. And lastly, no matter what happens, so if I go out and there's a whole patch of weeds someplace that because some grass blew in from a neighboring property, I go like, okay, maybe there's some nutrients in that I didn't know the soil needs, and maybe it's just getting me exercise. I don't know what it is, but I'm going to pull those weeds, and my garden's going to be more beautiful, and I'm going to see that as exercise or as beauty in some way. No matter what comes up, qualify. Visualize the positive, see the positive, notice the positive, and requalify everything as positive. So plants do that, and that's why they grow. They grow towards the sun, which is the last of the elements. Four elements we talked about, the sun feeds also, and plants know to move towards that which is positive and brings them light, love, joy. That's what I pray for ourselves and all of our listeners today. I'm happy to answer other questions, but I thought that was my Church of the Garden that I gave myself this morning.
I love that, and I can see Dallin with you, and
So cute.
Just being with the thoughts of playing baseball and
yes.
being positive and seeing things and that he can, you know, it's not only the garden, but I see
it's
that
everywhere.
Bringing it all. It's everywhere. And you had said one thing about the power that is, it's just the power within us. Is that right?
Mm. Yes,
the power,
it's our superpowers. It's the positive, absolutely, to bring about a magnificent, winning life. It's all about affirming. So instead of saying, I am sick, I say, I am strong, I am healthy, I am happy. And those I am statements, I don't know, I kind of wanted to touch on that today, but I think I've probably used all
the
time already.
Yeah, we're going to do that when we come back so that
okay.
you're just right on schedule and our timing-wise, it's just right on. It's perfect.
Okay.
It's in a divine place right here, right now. And so I thank you, and we're going to come back with a little mm-hmm. bit more about what you and I are about and
yes.
what with the I am and how important
mm-hmm.
the word is and the power of the I am. And so you're
Amen.
Here with me, and I our wonderful guest today, Susan Whiting, who is with us about her Yolanda Dairy Garden and sharing with us so many insights. So if you're joining us right now, stay tuned because there's more to come. And this is Deborah with the Second Genesis Radio Show with Susan Whiting today and at Dream Vision 7 Radio. And we'll be right back. Thanks for joining us.
Adam T. Gardner here with the humanaccelerator.org. In an ancient lifestyle I call walking in the medicine, I've discovered piercing insights into how the human body works in a harmonic, symbiotic relationship with the plant kingdom of life. This genetic and epigenetic dynamic gives us, each individual, the power to remove troubles from our bodies without harming or removing any organs. It's an evolutionary next step for mankind, ultimately leading into a human life free of sickness and disease. The details of this reality are in Book 2 called The Second Genesis Transformation, Passage to Spontaneous Regeneration. Go to thehumanaccelerator.org for a copy or amazon.com. That's The Second Genesis Transformation, Passage to Spontaneous Regeneration.
What if everything we've experienced is but a pale image of what human life could become? It's now time to bring forward a new set of guidelines to live by, a vision of what human life was meant to be. The Second Genesis Awakening with your host, Deborah Bruintout, singer, songwriter, an intuitive facilitator, will share insights and understandings interwoven with lots of stories from people just like you and I who have longed for and begun this evolutionary shift of how life works.
Hi, I'm Deborah. Join me every Monday on DreamVision7Radio.com. The show airs at 12 a.m. and 12 p.m. Eastern Time. See you there.
Adam T. Gardner here with thehumanaccelerator.org. For over three decades, I've lived an ancient lifestyle I call walking in the medicine of the plant kingdom. I've not eaten any animal flesh, no meat, no eggs, no fish, no milk, cream, or cheese for 30 years and counting. I've lived and witnessed what modern science says is impossible, and now can share piercing insights into how food is medicine and medicine can be food. I'm writing a series of books called The Second Genesis Awakenings. Book one is The Second Genesis Diet, Welcome Home. It's a diet book unlike any diet book ever written, I promise. It's available online at our website, thehumanaccelerator.org. It's also at amazon.com.
welcome back to the show. And we're here with Susan Whiting today from the Humanitarian Gardens. And we are beginning to talk about the prevention of what that means and a little bit about the things that you wanted to share with the I Am principles. You've got a whole bunch for us. So where do we start?
I do. Maybe let's talk about prevention, early intervention. Because, mm-hmm. as I said, in my work history, I started working in a field that was about late intervention when disease and difficulty was already far advanced. And I began to have a heartthrob about prevention and early intervention. So I got a further degrees and started to work in higher education, where I had a chance to meet people who were ready to learn early before they were in disastrous conditions. And again, I couldn't stress that strongly enough for ourselves and our listeners, our families everywhere, that prevention is so much easier than late intervention. And as I learned to do medical work, as well as learning to do mental health and behavioral health counseling work, when people are already in just a horrible mess, it takes so much, and sometimes they are never brought back to their wholeness. But when we start early with prevention, in that we're talking primarily about food today, but a home garden is prevention. And the last show I did, we called it the Clean Dozen, and it's all the things that gardening gave to you, which we won't go into. But when you grow your garden, you are eating the cleanest, healthiest things that you can put into your body that were picked just that moment. And it's about everything.
Well, and especially, Susan, excuse me, but the way you're doing your organic garden, for those that mm-hmm. might be joining us, an organic and as much pesticide-free as mm-hmm. you can, and it's amazing. So I want to add that to it, because you are very conscious mm-hmm. with conscious yeah. gardening. So,
well, I'm 73 years old, but still very healthy, and I don't want to be filling my body with medications and surgeries that I could prevent in another way. And when we think about, if we start with infants and young children, teaching them the laws
Absolutely.
Of nature to mm-hmm. serve the planet, to, and they learn that by working in the garden, as we talked about early on. The plants and the earth and the four elements will teach them without even words, because they'll watch it, they'll see it, they'll live it, they'll taste it, and they will grow a desire to eat that which is healthy and nourishing. But it's more than that. It's when we have the desire is the fire which drives our lives truly. When we have the desire for the maximal beauty that we can create for ourselves and others and the planet, then everything we do will have that focus. And so I'm asking that prevention is a focus of living the highest path you can and you know. And that's about eating the healthiest food. And so we have a little piece at the end. We'll talk about the laws of five. But right now I want to just talk about the early intervention is still, okay, so the day you start having maybe one headache a week or something, and you're drinking two soda pops a day and whatever else you're doing that everyone really knows. If there's enough information on media and internet now that we know what's good for us and what's not.
We do. We know that without any of that. We really do mm-hmm. know what's good for us.
Beautifully said. Our internet
just the way it is.
Knows. Yeah. It knows what's good for us and what's not. So we start early to say, okay, I'm weeding that out of my life, or I'm adding this into my life. So my sweet husband's so nice in the kitchen, but he, in the winter times when oranges and grapefruit are fresh, he squeezes me fresh orange juice or fresh grapefruit juice and natural vitamin C. And if you really tasted a glass of fresh squeezed juice at this time of year and then tried a soda pop, you'd go like, really? What?
I know. Yes, or a mango. Yeah, and the so smoothies and
yes.
Let's
think prevention. It's so the easy way. Intervention is the hard way. Late intervention is the really hard way.
It is really hard. And to have the vitality now and be able to, as we grow younger, or you know, I'm watching people grow younger. Like, hello, Miss Susan, and ourselves. Yeah. I'm starting to see things happen. So, preventative, prevention all the way.
Well, we've both been out in our yards weeding away. We still have the stamina to do it.
and that's where it's at right now in March.
Could we end with the rules of five, then talking about how to do prevention and early intervention and picking a goal? I kind of jumped ahead to the next question.
Good, I'm glad you did. You've got a lot to share, and we'll have you back.
I love you. The rules of five are to look at your life and examine. I'm going to just start with, what were the last five medias that you were involved at? Were you looking at a podcast about how to improve your eating or your wisdom or your goal setting or something? Or were you watching some dramified show about how people hate each other and kill each other and fight and try to destroy each other? What are the five medias that you watched most recently, and can you improve that? So your pen and paper, which one do you want to replace, or are you already just spot on with as I said, I was listening to some things you did and some other podcasts and reading some magnificent books like Adam T. Gardner's Second Genesis, Course in Miracles, Ringing Cedars. And so let's add books to that. What are the last five books, whether that was on online or Kindle or however you read, or in paper? What are the last five things you read? Did you read about disaster and horror, or did you read about edification and beauty and light? What are the five people you spend most time with? And lucky, Deborah, you're on my five list.
Right on my list, Susan. Yes.
So we are lucky.
And
to
our
have
friends
some wonderful
are
people.
Yeah, we do have some wonderful list. People. I was thinking about that from you saying that on a podcast. Podcast I watched that you were on recently, and you're right there, Susan.
I did talk about that on another podcast I was doing with Donnie. But let's look at who are the five people we spend the most time with. And even more interestingly, would everybody want to have us as one of their five people they spend the most time with?
Yeah.
Interesting. Pretty interesting thought. What are the five foods you ate most of this week? Because spinach is on right now. We've been loading ourselves with
your spinach.
Mm-hmm.
Boy.
This is kind of gross to say, but it comes out green.
So, it does.
I've been eating a lot of spinach lately. So what
I remember beets. I thought
we don't
first
have
time
beets
I
yet,
had
but...
been drinking a lot of beet juice, I was like, oh, no, I've forgotten. And I'm glad that I did panic for a minute because I went, am I okay? Yep. Okay,
so
we'll continue.
What five foods did you eat most this last week? Do you want to replace one of those? Do you want to weed one out? Do you want to add a different one? If people in your family, I was just with my sister and her husband, and he has dementia, quite advanced now, and I did teach them some things that they could do that they're improving on, but early intervention and prevention was the key to that and is for all of us. What can you do right now that is prevention for things that you don't want to have later?
Yes, absolutely. And to be thinking that way, to see it differently, right?
Mm-hmm.
To realize that you have the power to do it now, today, right this hour.
Yeah. So we're going to go back to that map that's written in every person. Look at your five activities, your five books, your five foods, your five medias, your five people. Look at how you're using your life. Is that the most maximal way that you want to bring on the life that is ideal for yourself, for the planet, for others, and bring that vibration up. Look at the plants and look at their beauty right now. If you have access to go outside and look right now, I'm looking out your window, Deborah, and green trees right now are so
beautiful. Oh, isn't that beautiful?
Even the leaves are full of life right now.
Oh, they are. They're actually pretty.
I know.
This year I'm noticing. But I've never seen them grow so tall.
Yep.
I got some weeding to do, everyone.
And I keep weeding the front, and we've got the gardens on the top of our roof. And
Well, I love you, listeners. I love you, and I just love life. And life is here abundantly. We do an I Am Fundamentals group on Wednesdays, Deborah and I do, and it spoke yesterday that our natural state is to be beautiful, to be healthy, to be wise, to be happy, and to be perfect. That is our natural state. Let's prevent that which is unnatural by doing that which is most full of life, most abundant, most vibrant, and highest energy. That's what I want to say to everyone in my sermons in the garden.
Well, we have received, and it is so true. I remember just starting the show and saying, instead of vegetables, I said truth. And and I've also been being about the vibration and how I wake up in the morning now, the way I'm
what
eating.
What time to set that?
Yes. It is, and I've also been feeling the vibration of my body. And my mind is much
Deborah's
more
beautiful
alert.
Beautiful if you haven't seen her lately.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Well, that's what I feel about you.
Oh, thanks, love.
There's a glow. There's a lot of life. And and Adam T. talks about this a lot of times also, is that when you're adding life, there your skin changes, not only your vibration, but your skin is more clean and more vibrant. And he calls it the second skin is actually your air that you breathe, and so it's like your second breath, and it literally breathes in everything. It's a living organism. And as we clean our bodies, and we do skin brushing a lot too. You can skin brush, and it's an amazing thing with the lymph nodes. And there's so many things that are preventative that we're doing.
A little yoga in the morning never hurt anybody.
Oh, I love yoga. Yes, every day. And
meditation,
it does work.
Might be a great thing to add to plant in your garden. Start your morning practice. You're right on. Start
You're right on.
To add to your garden.
Oh,
meditation,
yes.
Stretching, yoga, gratitude.
Sunrise.
Love, compliments. Sunrise. Be outside. Touch a plant. Walk through the plant.
Sing a song.
Oh, yes. You're so good at that.
Plant a garden.
Plant a garden. Please plant a garden.
Plant a garden. And absolutely, you can be that that teaches. And one like Susan, thank you for teaching
give
us
yourself
how to grow
a sermon.
The garden. Yes, give yourself a sermon. And, you know, it's really, really fun. I've just enjoyed this show, and we're going to have you back. By demand, I'm sure people are really enjoying you, Susan. So this is the second Genesis Awakening. And do you have anything to say, Susan? Because we're going out.
Take off a weed, add a beautiful plant.
See you next week. Thank you for joining
us. Thank you.
Join us next time as the second Genesis Awakening unfolds further mysteries into how our lives can be transformed through ancient insights and modern understandings of how the universe works upon us and within us.
Now remember,
The show broadcasts every Monday on DreamVision7Radio.com at 12 a.m. and 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. In the meantime, you can catch me on my website anytime. Call in allangels.com. I've written a number of songs, and they're available for download on my website. That's callinallangels.com.
The Second Genesis Awakening has been a production of thehumanaccelerator.org, your We community, working to build America's medicine wheels.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.